Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and His return is imminent. 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 He said in 2017, He told me, "Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left." The Lord is very serious about His soon return. And I want all of His people to be rapturable. I want them rapture ready. And there's a doctrine that's out that's once saved, saying once saved, always saved. Almost without, you know, without condition, basically. But that's not the way the Word of God reads. Jude pointed this out. 2 Peter pointed this out. And some people, Jesus pointed this out in His address to the church. He warned the first church at Ephesus not to leave his first love. And so many people have left that first love. Not only left it, they forgot about it. And excused themselves to do whatever they desire. And he said specific things to the churches, but he always ended saying this. Let him that hear, let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. We need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying. Verse 7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Then he said, "To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So in his discourse, in his teaching to his disciples, he made it clear, very clear, to hold out to the end. Stay in faith till it's over with. Stay in faith forever. Be ready forever. From the time that you believe, stay in faith. Stay out of sin. Now, I know it's bad to be sin-focused. And a lot of people became legalistic and sin-focused. I know this. I've experienced it up and down. I've experienced from others as I endeavor to live a holy life myself. I try to get other, you know, right now I'm attempting to help other, encourage people to live holy. Now, the reason I don't like doing that, because that's like telling somebody, keep the law. But actually, He gave us His love. Stay in the love of God. If you fulfill the love of God, by the love of God, you will fulfill the law, just like Jesus. And that should be all of our goal. The other problem is, there's a doctrine that people say that, well, just do the best you can. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, stay in the love of God. Live by His love. Walk in the light, not darkness. And people fall and slip and do all kind of stuff. All right. It's dangerous, okay? It's dangerous. But that doesn't, I know that God wants to, He don't want us to give up. He wants us to go back to our first love always. And live from there. Live from your first love. Let your love graduate. Why not let it graduate instead of just holding, hanging on to your first love? Hold on to it. Don't do any worse than that. But graduate in the love of God. Learn, as you receive more of His word, you're able to love God more. I ask the Lord to help me mature in His love. And that's the heart of God's will. And we don't just learn to love and learn the ways of God. We also learn, it's our responsibility to reject darkness. We have to choose not to work in darkness, not to live in darkness, not to walk in darkness. And it's not a hard choice, because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for sin to exist in the first place. Now, I like to talk about things that help us build our life. I would rather preach about things and teach about things and exhort people to receive more of God's word, living, trusting him, trusting his word. But the Lord is not interested in your past failures. But it doesn't, you don't have to become some kind of expert for God to love you. He loves you now. He's going to always love you. His love is unconditional. But it's the things that sin does to a person, it changes all of your perspectives. It works against everything Jesus did for you. It changes your mind against God. That's the problem with sin. You don't, if you dabble with it, it's like leaven. It starts working against you over time. Over time, what used to be important, such as praying and receiving God's word, hearing good ministry, you get so busy and caught up in the works of a ministry and the duties at church that you can forget about Jesus and having a relationship with him. And this, in this day, this is so much just like the Dark Ages, but it's different. In the Dark Ages, people had basically seemed to have forgotten about God. Now, I didn't live in those days. I just study it sometimes. And the leaven of the leadership, got leavened, and it changed the focus of the people, and people became estranged from God. Estranged from the Holy Spirit, estranged from speaking in tongues, estranged from the gifts. But I know that God always had a remnant of people. And also, what made it last so long is the common man didn't read. Most people didn't, you know, you had to be almost wealthy to have an education, unless you had some very diligent parents that learned to read and write. And then, even if they could, sometimes when people read the book of Acts, all those documents were always there. But it wasn't to the common people, it was for the elite. And see, the churches, people that learned about Catholicism and learned about Christianity, some people, there was always a light, but they interpreted it in favor in the way the kings wanted them to interpret it. But I know God, he always keeps a remnant. And thank God for Martin Luther and what he did. He taught people to live by faith again. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I was listening to a tape on YouTube. Well, it was on YouTube. And I heard and saw Kenneth Hagin teaching. And it was about overcoming darkness. And he said, you can't. One man told him, said, you always teach on faith. He said, well, without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't even get saved without faith. And then the man said, I've been preaching 25 years. And I didn't teach on faith. And then he said, I've been preaching 25 years, but I hadn't been preaching. That's what he said. But at least he came to the point that his eyes was open now. And you got to do this by faith. Now, just like the Dark Ages, the Laodicean church has went to sleep. They changed. Their focus changed. And they become wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. People without covenant. And the Lord wants to wake them up. But I'll never forget. One day the Lord said, something's happening in the spirit. This was back in 2012. I asked the Lord what year it was, and I believe he told me it was 2012. Because I really forgot what year it was. But I remember he told me to pray. And I began to pray for those that follow God and those that don't. Because some people don't know to follow God. They've been taught wrong. Now, what I mean by follow God, I mean, it goes back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him. Lean not unto your own understanding. You know, And that kind of relation, that's relationship. I don't, there's no way to do that without relationship. So relationship has taken a back seat in modern culture. People don't expect God to answer. I don't know why. Because Jesus taught that when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth. And he explained what the Holy Spirit came to do, his part, to guide us into all truth. But see, cold religion, terrible cold religion, it suggests that you don't question God. You don't ask questions. And you just do the best you can with your own knowledge and wisdom. But listen to what was written in Psalm in Proverbs 3 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is what the Holy Spirit will help us to do. See, Old Covenant, they trusted the Lord, but they went by the word of God, and they listened to the prophet. They did, and they didn't always see the prophet. They and the priest. So they did the best they could with what they had to work with. Well, now, thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And it's time now for people to embrace what God has done for us. You know, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Peter said, verse 16, Acts chapter 2, 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Isn't that interesting? Your sons and daughters will prophesy just like the old prophets of old, and the priests, and the kings. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he said this really blows the religious mind of the day. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Sun shall be darkened, turned to darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And then he said this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This just blew the religious boat right out of the water in those days. See, God has a way. The ways of God runs deep. All of us should be drawing near to the Lord and prophesying instead of just looking for the preacher to do everything. And God bless the pastors. People won't listen to the word. They have listened. Call him and wake him up out in the middle of the night. Often. When he's preaching his heart out, they don't show up for church. When the Lord is using them to say what they need, they skip. And then they get in trouble. Then they call and wake him up in the middle of the night. Who would want to go through that? But you know what? God have pastors, they don't mind. They love the people and they mean business. But sometimes the people don't. But see, we need to rise above all these religious influences. I was telling a friend of mine just yesterday, you have to break through. You have to break through your will. You have to break through the will of your family. In other words, the culture around you. The culture of your city. The culture of your neighborhood. The people you're around. And do what Jesus said. And land where you land. Do what Jesus said by all means. Without compromise. Driving out the dark ways. Embracing the light. See, you walk in love, you can see. And when you embrace darkness, you can't see. That's what First and Second John teaches us. The first part of First John chapter 2, it teaches us how it works. If you walk in the light, you can see. If you walk in darkness, you'll stumble over things. We are not wilderness walkers. When the children of Israel first came out of Egypt, they didn't know God. God excused them. They had an excuse. They had been influenced by the world for 400 years. And the more they were there, the worse it was. So they had strong bodies because they did all the work, and weak minds because they were made to do all the work. And they lost the ability. See, if somebody's always telling you what to do, you don't know how to be independent. That was at that point. That's why they obeyed Moses. They could obey by faith, but they couldn't trust. They never trusted God, and that's the problem. And the church acts just like them. And I love the church. I love God's people. But so many people, if the Lord tell them something, the Holy Spirit is not broken. He does his job. He's active. I don't know how many times people will say, something told me not to go. They call him something. The Holy Spirit give them good information, and they don't trust the information. They don't trust his wisdom. They don't trust his counsel. And they don't realize that when they're weak, he's strong. They don't trust the might that he would give them. And the fear of the Lord only works when there's love in your heart. If you go too far in the world, the fear of the Lord, you'll be hardened against it. And you'll stop repenting. And this is what has happened to the Laodicean church. This is how they got there. Because a little leaven leavens you. It changes your focus. And once your focus is changed, you change with it. You can't undo what's been done if you agree with the wrong that's been done against you. You need deliverance. If you have appetite for sin, you're going to be leavened. It's just that simple. You're not going to follow through with the things that will make you stronger. That's the first thing the enemy attacks. I told my son, I said, when people get in sin, they disconnect from the people that may help them be strong. And then they justify what they're doing. Then they get addicted to it. Then they get trapped by it and they can't come back. But when their life don't work, they may want to. But the only people that come back and snap out of the darkness are the people who ask the Lord to help them do it. The rest of them won't repent, and their heart gets so hard that they just don't care anymore. And you have to get tired of sin. It changes your perspective. See, the wrong things will become important. Now here's the test. All right. Sometimes people become like I talked about the children of Ephraim. They got upset with Gideon because he had a victory and left them out. God didn't include them because their heart was wrong. They got mad at Gideon because he had a victory. Gideon appeased them, saying, well, you the ones who captured Oreb and Zeeb. Then their anger was abated. All right. The children of Ephraim, again. Here comes Jephthah. Jephthah had a great victory. He won against the king of Ammon. Defeated him. Defeated his armies. They came to kill him. The same the descendants of the children of Ephraim. And guess what the Lord showed me? He revealed to me that's where the doctrine of the Pharisees started. That's the beginning of the leaven of the Pharisees, willing to betray the righteous because of pride. I don't remember another tribe that acted that way, except for Ephraim. And then, once something starts, and if it don't stop, it gets worse and worse over the centuries and over the millennium. When Jesus came to his own received him not. And I know that the Pharisees were, you know, they were, and the priest and the, you know, all, it got consumed because of darkness covered the earth. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now the leaven of Herod is different, but just as bad. It started with Benjamin. They raped a man's concubine all night till she died. And then they wouldn't judge the people that did it. They fought so that they wouldn't be brought to justice. Herod, he loved his own ways. He loved his own purposes and despised Jesus. He despised the people of God because he loved authority more. He built a temple because everybody say they love God, but what do they really love? All right, when people, there are different types of ministers with all kinds of different anointings. The anointing on our life is varied. I remember preachers that had healing gifts, they got in a conversation. Different ones had different healing gifts. And they all realized that they had more success with different parts of the body. Like one guy, he had more success with eyes, whereas another one had more success with opening ears. Some have more success with allergy problems. Different anointings. My pastor's anointing worked with the word of knowledge. And when that anointing comes on him, that's when you go get, you're going to get healed. If you go in faith, you're going to get healed. That's just the way it is. Now, because you're receiving from, you're pulling that anointing to you. See, the Lord taught me this about the anointing. It's like heavy equipment, but it has two keys to it. The one that God has given the anointing to, when he yields to the anointing, it's like he turned the key switch on in his heavy equipment. But when you see the anointing on, it's just like you turn that anointing on. You're pulling that anointing to you. Now, understand, the anointing is not heavy equipment. It's like it. Because his definition of the anointing, he said, I asked him what was his definition of the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So the anointing works with maturity, a man or a woman, not a boy or a girl. But it's not limited to age. It's limited to maturity. If you're a spiritual man, you can be 8 years old. If you're a spiritual woman, you can be 7 years old or 6 years old. If you're mature enough to handle that anointing and yield to God, then the anointing can operate in your life. Anybody that's spiritually mature, if you just love God without hypocrisy, if you love God without darkness, you love God and you don't love darkness. That's what I'm trying to say. You shun evil, just like Job, but you embrace righteousness, just like Jesus. He always wanted to hear what his father had to say. And he hated the darkness of Satan, and he proved it in Matthew chapter 4. Satan couldn't do anything with him. His people couldn't do anything with him. They tried to trap him in his words. They couldn't do it. He knew what they were doing before they started because he spent time with his father. Remember, Jesus did these things as a man. All of the knowledge he had before he was became a child, a baby, a man, all that knowledge was stripped. He had to learn. He had to believe who he was. He grew from glory to glory, just like we do. He studied the word and he believed who he was. And he had a relationship with his father. That's why those who follow God, they have a relationship. Some ministers, they're born again. They're in covenant. They know it. They study it. Thank God for them. They do great works. But remember, when I say follow God, that means you live completely yielded to your Father. You have a relationship. So many people have a ministry that seems to be thriving, but they lack a relationship. What was the last thing you talked to the Lord about? What do you talk about to the Lord on a daily basis? Do you spend time with Him? Do you ask questions? Bear with me. Can He wake you up and tell you something? Are all of your conversations limited to ministry? Is He invited to share with you personal things? Does He talk to you like a friend? Let me ask you this. Does He ever cause you to laugh? If something's sneaking up on you, does He make you aware of it? When you make a judgment, do you put Him first? Do you live submitted to Him? Can He tell you to do something you've never done before, and will you see it through? Can He introduce a new thought to you? And when you see others doing things that you can't do, are you offended? Or do you embrace it? Or are you in competition? See, those who follow God, they're faithful in all those categories. All of them. They have a relationship. When danger's about, the Lord warns them. He gives them knowledge of it. And then they're so yielded, they receive instruction of what to do. And that these are the kind of things I expected from the pastors the Lord sent me to. And I thought that's how they were. In fact, I expected them to know I was coming. And some of them may have. But sometimes you run right into competition, jealousy, envy. Sometimes people never talk about what the Lord is talking about in their life. I mean, the Lord is always helping me understand things and showing me things. When my children were young, He gave me what to share with them. And I don't hear people saying things that way. That's what bothers me. The Lord would always give me what to say to my children. And I know that when preachers learn, they talk about it. And I'm not trying to put people down, but I'm exposing the importance of relationship. Are you living in covenant but still estranged? Can the Lord tell you what to do and you see it through? It requires courage and trust to follow through. And I understand the burden, how it is when you're entering into another unknown. What helped me was my vow. I would have chickened out so many times, but I made a vow. I said I would do this. So I had to make myself go forward and not backward. And I found out that God is trustworthy. You can trust Him and enjoy His newness. And what I mean by newness, I mean it's holy, it's word, it's the word of God. It's not it doesn't defy the things that you don't know that is the word. It's new to you. It's of the Holy Spirit, just like the word. But it's so new to you, it can puzzle you. But it's first pure and peaceable. You can follow the peace and be on point. Well, when things were so new to me, just like walking in greater versions of or greater measures of authority, I found out that I can always win. And it's not based on my knowledge. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on how wise I am. These are the kind of things I learned as I followed God. And all it is, following God is simple. I used to wonder, it puzzled me years ago. I even asked one of the pastor friends of mine, how do you take it when I say follow God? I understood that that could be so ambiguous. Do they feel like I'm accusing them of being sinister or something? No. I'm talking about being intimate. Intimately obeying God, whatever he say. Living your life a living sacrifice. In other words, the reins of my life I've given them to God. I don't make decisions without him. He can tell, you know, one day I almost said, I'm going to do all that I've learned about in my heart. I'm going to do it. But then I thought, why not take it a step further? I said, I'm going to do all that's in God's heart. I kept saying that by faith, just like Charles Capps used to teach about confession. I confess that I will do all that's in the Lord's heart. I will do all that's in God's heart. I will do all that the Holy Spirit give me to do. I wrote God a blank check. Do you have a problem with writing God a blank check? I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm talking about you. Can God tell you to do anything and it's okay with you? That's what I'm talking about. Following God would take you there. Keeping God first and foremost. This is where the greatest adventure is. And those who do will see greater works. They will see what I'm talking about.